Welcome back to Uprising. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. Today is Mumia Abu-Jamal's 61st birthday. The political prisoner and award-winning journalist has spent the majority of his birthdays behind bars. Since his conviction at the age of only 28 for the murder of a white police officer in Philadelphia, Abu-Jamal has not let incarceration silence him. He has written books, regularly recorded radio commentaries, and done so much. His supporters, who maintain his innocence, have successfully agitated and organized to thwart his execution, but been unsuccessful in obtaining his release. Recently, Abu-Jamal experienced a dangerous medical situation, for which he was hospitalized. The incident sparked renewed concerns over his health and accusations that the state might be trying to kill him through medical negligence. Joining us now for an update on Mumia Abu-Jamal is Noelle Hanrahan of Prison Radio. Welcome to the program, Noelle.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
We were going to be joined by Jamal Ibn Mumia, that is Mumia Abu-Jamal's oldest son. But at the very last minute, he actually got the opportunity to visit his father on his birthday. We're hoping to bring him on by phone. But in the meanwhile, thank you for coming back on the program. We'd had you on recently. And when we last talked to you, the situation was quite grim. There was a lot of work that you and others were doing to convince prison authorities for Mumia Abu-Jamal to have the best care. What is the latest situation?
We learned 2 days ago that the prison has refused to allow Mumia's doctor to talk to the physicians in the infirmary, has refused to allow the doctor to conduct an examination in person, and also is not giving Mumia adequate diagnostic and treatment plans. So we are at a very critical moment. Mumia has chronic conditions that were not treated adequately in the very place that he is right now, which is the infirmary. So while he's able to test his own blood for high sugar levels, he's able to monitor multiple times a day, we are still deeply concerned about the level of care that this correctional corporation, Wexford, and the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections is allowing Mumia Abu-Jamal to have, and as well many other prisoners. Mumia is not alone in this situation in terms of inadequate medical neglect.
And so this is a private prison corporation that is accountable to whom exactly?
Certainly it's going to be accountable to us. And it's going to be accountable to all your listeners who care about Mumia Abu-Jamal's voice, because we cannot let them provide him with inadequate care. Mumia was very sick for 3 months. He lost 80 pounds.
Wow.
He had high blood sugar records that are noted in the record, and they did nothing. Then he went into diabetic shock. He almost went into a diabetic coma. He was unconscious, and he was taken by ambulance to an outside hospital where they stabilized his condition. Before Mumia could walk, they returned him to the infirmary. When people see Mumia, when they're going to see him today on his birthday, Mumia is going to come out from the infirmary in a wheelchair. He's still very weak, and he has not gotten the minimal care that he needs. And so we are organizing. We've organized a legal team. We've organized a medical team. We've gotten the medical records. And we are organizing and asking everyone that is listening, if you have heard Mumia's voice, if you care about this kind of journalism happening, even from where it is happening, from the bowels of the depths of the American criminal justice system, if you think that's important, then we have really got to keep our eyes on him. And we have got to really push right now, because he's in serious need of our help.
Now, recently, Noelle, a teacher in New Jersey named Marilyn Zuniga asked her elementary school students to write letters of encouragement to Mumia Abu-Jamal. She came under so much fire for that she was suspended without pay. Is that a reaction to anything favoring Mumia, a sort of typical reaction?
It is very much so within Philadelphia. Really, the nature of the problem is the Philadelphia police, the Fraternal Order of Police, and the thuggery. I mean, it's not just the third grade teacher who gets abused and gets censored for what was a genuine, kind, humble, someone to get well. It also goes right up to the highest offices of the United States of America. When the Fraternal Order of Police blocked President Obama from having his appointment to the Civil Rights Division, only because of that man's association with Mumia Abu-Jamal via his old law firm, the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. So we see this routinely in Philadelphia, New Jersey, and nationally, how the police are trying to censor the information that we're receiving from Mumia by punishing those of us who stand up for him.
And so let's talk a little bit more about the Fraternal Order of Police. Were they known to be behind Zuniga's suspension for doing what she did? How strong a force have they been in keeping Mumia Abu-Jamal behind bars?
The Fraternal Order of Police are really, I think, the linchpin. They were behind the Silencing Act that was passed by the governor recently.
Which we discussed last time,
Yeah, we're waiting for that decision right now to take away Mumia's pencils, turn off his phone. They are literally behind many of the attempts to censor Mumia Abu-Jamal. They're certainly behind the attempt to block him getting a new trial. There's a lot of evidence that Mumia Abu-Jamal is innocent and deserves a new trial. He's been in 34 years. So they have a vested interest. The Fraternal Order of Police are related to the politicians in Pennsylvania and now throughout the country. Like, you would say that Ed Rendell. Ed Rendell was the governor of Pennsylvania. Ed Rendell was also the chair of the Democratic National Committee. So it's very important that we notice that the Fraternal Order of Police are really the lapdogs, thugs, in service of the politicians that want to make sure that Mumia Abu-Jamal stays in prison.
So let's talk about his particular sense right now of where he's at. You mentioned in the alerts that you've sent out that the last time you heard Mumia Abu-Jamal's voice, it sounded weak, much weaker than normal. Do you know how he is doing mentally? Did the cards and letters that the students, that Zuniga students wrote, lift his spirits at all?
You know, it's amazing. All the times that we have actually made our presence known for Mumia, whether it's cards, letters, whether it was sleeping overnight in the ICU to make sure that he knew that we were there, that bolsters his spirit. He comes out and he's vibrant sometimes. I mean, he goes up and down. And so that's why all the pressure, the very early days of the pressure when he first went into the hospital, were so important. They were refusing to let his wife see him. They were refusing to let his brother see him. And we wouldn't have been allowed to have Wadia see him today, his wife, and Jamal see him today if it had not been for pressure. So that's super important. We call it like keeping our eyes on Mumia, making sure that we know what's happening with him. The prison is trying to isolate him. The infirmary generally doesn't have visits. So Mumia being in the infirmary generally has meant that he wouldn't be allowed to have visits. We only have visits because of the public pressure. So that's the first step, really, to see Mumia, to touch base with him, to talk to him about his care, to just make sure that he is not going into another crisis and that he regains his health. It's going to be a long process, but we are going to be there. His family's going to be here. His supporters are going to be there. Pam Africa is going to be there. We are all at the prison trying to make sure that the prison is doing what they need to do. Now, for the moment, the prison doctors are going to be delivering the health care. So we have to make sure that the treatment plan is the right plan and that we influence the Wexford Corporation, a for-profit corporation that delivers health care in Pennsylvania prisons. We have to make sure that that diagnosis, the diagnostics, treatment, and the referrals, that the referrals for his chronic conditions are done.
Noelle, I wish I could have asked the questions of Jamal Ibn Mumia directly, that's Mumia's son, about what it's been like to be separated from his father all these years. And I appreciate you stepping in at the last minute, but you know Mumia very well, you know the family very well, you've been close to this issue. And I'm wondering if you can give us your sense of what the separation has been like in how it's impacted the family. And of course, this is the separation that millions of families around the country have gone through when their loved ones have been imprisoned.
You know, if you have a moment, we have here right in our studio, Prison Radio studio, Mumia's nephew, Wayne Alexander. Would you like to talk to him for
yes.
a moment? Wayne, come on over.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm gonna take the headphones. Yes. Wayne is working in the office. We're working, like, going through tons of paper. We are, like,
let's
so
do it.
Busy.
Live programming, folks. Here we go.
Hello, how you doing?
Hi, Wayne. Thank you so much for I'm so grateful that we have somebody from Mumia's family to talk to us. What has it been like to be separated from somebody that, you know, is a part of your family and that you care about for all these years?
Well, me and my family have been going through a hardship. We love my uncle dearly, and we think about him every day. And our heart goes out with him, and I know he's going through something right now. He's sick, and we're trying to get him medical treatment. So I'm here, like, busting it with Noel, and we're trying to get him health care. And if anybody's out there that will listen, I mean, we're doing donations through, Indiegogo and S.com, if you want to go to, we're trying to raise as much as we can for him. Our defense is trying to make him free, trying to get him healthy.
And in terms of the separation, you know, we to have a family separated, and to have to only see him when prison authorities deem it. And this is a person whose voice has influenced many people around the country through his insightful commentaries, and yet is not able to, you know, be physically with his family all these years. I'm wondering how you can convince people around the you know, who are listening, how important it is to free Mumia Abu-Jamal. We can still talk about the fact that he does need freedom, even though it's been all these years.
Yes, he's free. I mean, he's innocent on all charges. I mean, I believe our family, everybody believes he's innocent, and he should be out. He should be free. And it's our government that's keeping him behind there, and they just don't like what he's saying and how he comes out, and his freedom of speech. Mm-hmm. And we need to do whatever possible to get this free man out of prison. And that goes for everybody. I mean, I understand if you look at your family, if it was your family that was locked up, how would you feel? Do you know what I mean? So it's very crucial that it happens. So we got to free Mumia now.
And the Indiegogo page that you've set up, if you go to Indiegogo.com and search for Mumia, you'll find the campaign called Mumia Abu-Jamal Needs Medical Care Now. $27,000 raised so far by 500 people. And certainly the more people donate, the better it would be for the, because it's expensive, of course, to fund prison care.
Yes, medical care is very expensive. You know, I mean, anybody knows if you go to the hospital, it's going to cost you money. So.
Right. Well, I want to thank you so much, Wayne, and best of luck to you and your family as you continue to work for your uncle's freedom. And also thank you to Noel Hanrahan. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Wayne, who is the nephew of Mumia Abu-Jamal. Before that, Noel Hanrahan, director of Prison Radio, who records and distributes Mumia Abu-Jamal's commentaries. You can find out more online and listen to his commentaries at prisonradio.org. We'll also post a link to the Indiegogo page at uprisingwithsonali.com later today. This is Uprising. We'll be right back.